The U.S. Supreme Court delivered a major victory to President Trump yesterday, allowing the administration to continue deporting what it says are Venezuelan gang members. The vote was 5-4, and at issue in the case was the 1798 Alien Enemies Act, which is a controversial law allowing for the detention and deportation of foreign nationals from countries actively invading the United States. To talk more about the significance of this and understanding it a little bit better, we welcome back to the show CBS legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum, who is here. And Thane, could you start by telling us how often has this been used, the Alien Enemies Act, in U.S. history? Do you have like a concrete number or an idea of that?
Three times. It started in the late 18th century. I think John Adams was president during this period. It most controversially was used again after World War One, and it was used in World War Two in a notorious way. That was the Karamatsu case. That's where the Japanese Americans were unlawfully retained on the idea that after Pearl Harbor, all Japanese Americans living in the United States were considered an enemy alien. The Supreme Court ultimately, you know, was embarrassed by that decision, and it was a political disaster. So many people believed, Melissa, that stain caused by the internment of Japanese Americans meant that the Enemies Alien Act was not really good law. It's on the books, but it's not really good law. So that's why when the Venezuelans were moved to El Salvador on this law, you saw many media people start saying it's the 18th century law that's never been used, as if to say Donald Trump was, you know, throwing a Hail Mary, using a law that's all the way back to the 18th century that barely been used, has been disgraced from Japanese Americans, Karamatsu case in World War II, and, you know, talk about grasping for straws. Well, the Supreme Court last night said one thing for sure, that if they want to continue to deport people out of the country under this theory that their legal immigration represents an invasion and therefore constitutes enemy aliens, the government can continue to do so. So in theory, it said that the law is still good and it could still be used in order to remove people. On the other hand, the court said something else, which is that doesn't mean the president has unilateral authority to do so without judicial review. The people who are being removed still have due process rights, even if they may be illegal aliens, maybe even if they are enemies, they still receive due process rights. And the court said the problem here is that the court that ruled in the favor of the migrants was in Washington, D.C., and the case should have been brought in Texas because that's where they are. So the Supreme Court essentially said, look, for now, the government can continue to deport people pursuant to the Enemies Alien Act. Those people that have already been removed and a Washington, D.C. judge was trying to get them back, they can still try to come back, but they have to start all over. They can't do it in Washington, D.C. They have to do it in Texas. So it was sort of a victory for the administration, but in another sense, it wasn't, because the administration takes the view that the Enemies Alien Act allows us to conduct foreign policy based on national security concerns. And if the president thinks that there's national security issues about the gang members being in the United States, he has unilateral authority to just kick them out without judicial interference, no due process rights. So it was sort of a win, and yet it wasn't a win because—
Sounds like a compromise, Thane. It sounds like the Supreme Court kind of compromised there, saying we're going to uphold the Alien Enemies Act. However, the caveat is you still have to allow due process. And I'm curious, Thane, two questions for you, but I'll start with due process rights, because I think some people may not know the pure, like, the definition of that. What does that mean? Giving you know, people their due process rights in America?
Well, for one thing, it's notice that something bad is going to happen to you right now, that we believe that you are in violation of a law and, you know, we're going to be arresting and detaining you. So one is the idea that just you receive notice that a crime has been committed and that, you know, you should expect to, you know, defend yourself in a courtroom. And secondly, a courtroom, right? A place where you have rights that you can invoke to say the government is making this claim against me. They're wrong and they can't act against me on this until judicial review, until a court has an opportunity to review the evidence that was against me, and I can rebut the evidence and receive a ruling that would keep me in the United States. So the idea that the Trump administration has been talking about in all of these cases is, can a single federal district judge anywhere around the country stop the president who's engaged in foreign policy to remove people from the United States who are here illegally? Can any single federal district judge do this? The administration's position is they can't, because that would make it impossible for the president to conduct foreign policy, because every time he tried to do something in this kind of an – he could get blocked, and that defeats the whole purpose of Article 2, which defines the powers of the presidency. And there is a theory, the unitary executive theory, that says when it comes to foreign policy, and especially with respect to national security, the president's the guy or the woman. You know, she has ultimate authority to make these decisions, especially if they're being treated as wartime decisions on the basis of national security. That's really the fight that's really going on right now in a number of these cases, right?
So,
because you have federal judges blocking.
Right. And Thane, I'm curious, do you know if any other countries have this kind of law, a version of the Alien Enemies Act? They have, you know, is this only something in America, or do other countries have this?
No, most Western or most non-Western countries absolutely don't have this.
Do not have
this.
It.
Have this.
Oh, they
right?
do. They I mean, do have
know,
it. Okay.
Yeah, granting the government, you know, the power to remove people who are in their country illegally. So it's not, it really isn't such a surprise, you know, to some degree. The question goes to the principle of the act is essentially saying, if we're at war with you and your people are in our country, we shouldn't be required to keep them here. That's exactly what happened with the Japanese Americans, although it was a horrible outcome. But the idea being, we just got, you know, Pearl Harbored, literally, and we're now in World War II, and we don't know whether we can trust Japanese Americans to remain loyal to us, and so therefore they need to be segregated, separated from the rest of the population. That was a terrible black eye to American democracy, and that's why, Melissa, the Alien Enemies Act has always been thought to be no longer good law, as if to say it may not have been formally overturned and invalidated, but no one had ever used it again, except they just did, right? So that's why you saw in all the media the president is relying on an 18th century law. The reason they kept saying that is to say this is a Hail Mary. He's trying to use a law that's rarely ever used, and the last time it was used, it was used in disgrace. He's clearly reaching for straws. So you're right when you're saying it was a sort of a split victory, because this, you'll hear today all day that President Trump will say, look, the Supreme Court has legitimized my efforts to invoke this statute to remove people who have invaded this country. What the Supreme Court may ultimately hear here is a legal / factual question is, are the Venezuelans here in a way that the Enemies Alien Act should be applied? Because we're not at war with Venezuela.
Right. I was going to say, so the Alien Enemies Act, the three times that it was used was during wartime. And because that's not happening with this specific group, that's also been put into question. I'm curious, again, as a legal analyst, Thane, and then I'll let you go. Do you believe the Alien Enemies Act is archaic? Do you feel like it needs to be reworked, removed, redone? I mean, do you feel like it you know, again, when you compare to other countries who do absolutely have this type of a law in place, do you feel like we've underutilized it? Have we, does it need to be reworked? Is it archaic? Is it a Hail Mary?
Well, you know, it really depends, Melissa, on whether you believe the Article II powers of the Constitution that grant the presidency powers, that what does it mean to be the commander-in-chief? What does it mean to be the person responsible for conducting foreign policy? What does it mean to be the person who says, in the at need of national security, I have to act quickly? So sometimes this is called the imperial presidency, as if to say the president isn't the king, but he's sort of the king, right? We do have the separation of powers, but when it comes to this, national security concerns, we always defer to the judgment of the president because he has the primary responsible for defending the homeland. So it seems to me that the way to look at this, you're really asking me, do you, Thane, believe in the imperial presidency, right? That this law makes sense because the president should have the authority, the flexibility, that it should be brought in to give him the opportunity to do this, as opposed to no branch of government has more power than the other branches, and the Congress makes laws, and the courts oversee whether the laws are being applied properly. So again, in the aftermath of 9/11, what we've learned is that when you use the word terrorism or you're using national security, we're always seemingly granting the government more power. Remember, the Supreme Court in the first Trump administration it validated the use of the Muslim travel ban, right? They knocked down a lot of other executive orders, but they had withheld that one. They upheld that one. Why? Terrorism. If you use the word terrorism, and I think that that's what President Trump is saying here.
It's
this
like
is
a dead
an invasion.
Stop. Right.
It's an invasion.
Well, Thane Rosenbaum, I always appreciate getting your perspective, and certainly CBS legal analyst, excellent reporting, and I look forward to talking to you again really soon. Thank you so much.